Right now on VFN TV, we have a special interview with David DeLeiden, the founder of Center for Medical Progress. This organization is the one that who's been bringing these videos, these expose videos of what Planned Parenthood was allegedly involved in, the selling of baby body parts, as well as Governor Cuomo of New York just signed an executive order stating that the state of New York stands with Israel and stands against any country and any business that would try to boycott and be involved in the divestment and sanction, the BDS movement against Israel. We have his words and what he had to say for you today, as well as new military tool, weaponry, if you will, that Israel has developed, a remote drone. You don't want to miss it. All that happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
So Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated. I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you.
That we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski, and we're so excited that you joined us today on VFN TV. You know, we have so much to discuss with you today. One of those things is recently Governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, just signed an executive order that basically stated New York, the state of New York, stands with the nation of Israel. You know, there's that big BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanction movement that has been waged against Israel. And in this program, we're going to discuss more about what that means, but also this bold stand that the governor of New York just took. I mean, this was really remarkable. And we have his words that we'll have for you today. You know, we want to talk about first, though, about David DeLayden. If you remember, we've been sharing with you the videos from Center for Medical Progress, the expose, if you will, undercover videos that were taken regarding Planned Parenthood and allegedly the selling of baby body parts. I mean, to what extent all of this stuff is still, believe it or not, coming out. But right now, the table has turned. David DeLayden has been taken to court. There have been some charges filed against him. Basically, he's being persecuted. And we have this interview for you that you're going to be able to get an update as to how this case is progressing and what has actually been done. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for David DeLayden. We're also going to be talking in this program what is happening with abortion laws all across this nation. But before we get to that, let's watch this interview.
The case we've been covering heavily on this program has taken a very sudden and dramatic turn. Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast attorney Josh Schaefer reportedly admitted under oath that the district attorney's office that indicted DeLayden shared confidential documents and information with Planned Parenthood. Now, the sharing of these documents is illegal, and it had been forbidden by the Texas Attorney General's office. Joining me now is David DeLayden, project lead at the Center for Medical Progress. David, it's good to see you. We knew first off that there was a relationship between the Harris County DA's office and Planned Parenthood. The idea, though, that they would even go above and beyond and blatantly collude on persecuting you in a political witch hunt over just a journalism and exposing the story, it's a little bit hard to take, particularly after they were forbidden to collude. They were forbidden from this by the AG.
Yeah, Dana, thanks for having me on. And you're absolutely right. It's really an incredible story that's coming out of Houston, Texas right now. As some of your viewers might be familiar with, Texas is one of the many, many states that opened up an investigation into Planned Parenthood after the videos of their senior level officials haggling over the price and selling baby body parts for profit surfaced. Now, the Texas Attorney General's office was the primary entity in Texas that was continuing that investigation, but the local district attorney's office in Houston also got involved. That's where Planned Parenthood had more of their supporters in that district. That's where they had more of their supporters warmed into the AG, into the district attorney's office, apparently. And what we're finding out now from Planned Parenthood's own lawyer in Houston is that Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast in Houston and the Harris County DA's office actively worked together to undermine the investigation that the Attorney General's office has been conducting.
And this is the second time that they've been accused of working together, in addition to having someone there in the office who's on the board of Planned Parenthood. Talk a little bit, if you can, David, about just the relationship between the Harris County DA and this particular Planned Parenthood.
Well, I mean, it appears that the relationship is very close. If you read the filings that the Harris County DA filed in Houston in the courts just on Thursday of last week, it's their filing that's replying to our motion to dismiss the really bogus charges that are brought by their runaway grand jury in Harris County. If you read the filings that they made, they include the sworn declaration of the Planned Parenthood attorney in which he says that he actively sought cooperation and collusion from the district attorney in Harris County, and that they worked together in order to provide Planned Parenthood with evidence and information from the Attorney General's investigation that the Attorney General had explicitly told the DA not to give to Planned Parenthood.
Wow. And which is incredibly illegal, we might add.
It's an incredibly egregious act of collusion between Planned Parenthood, who the state has instructed to be the party that should be investigated, and the local authority that was tasked with doing that job. It's incredibly egregious.
How can Devin Anderson be expected to have integrity in pursuing this case when they've already been compromised not once but twice now?
You know, I think that's a good question for the judge in this case to answer, and that's why we have our motions to dismiss that are on file, our motions to quash those charges.
Now, I know that you rejected a deal for probation based on the witch hunt charges in February. Your attorney has asked for an apology from the Texas district attorney who filed these charges in the first place. Do you think that they're ever going to apologize?
Well, I think that as this case goes on longer and longer, if it goes on longer, it's going to become more and more clear exactly the level of collusion and the level of undermining and plotting that was going on, orchestrated by Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast behind the scenes in order to undermine the actual inquiry that was going on from the top law enforcement in Texas. So I think anything's possible moving forward. Certainly, I do know that the longer this case goes on, the more and more that evidence is going to come to light, and it's not going to look good for the people who were involved.
Now, another AG in April, California's Kamala Harris, who had stolen video footage from you that had not yet been released to the public concerning Planned Parenthood and Center for Medical Progress's journalistic efforts in exposing what was going on with the infant part sale. They took that from your home. Has that ever been returned? What progress has been made on that?
The Attorney General's office has not returned anything that they took from me yet. But I am really pleased to be able to say here on your show that the Attorney General's office also did not take from me anything that I absolutely need in order to continue my work. And so I'm happy to confirm that we're going to be releasing further videos in the coming weeks and months.
I can't even imagine what's going to be on those videos, considering what you have shown the world already with what's going on with the infant part sale. And it's changed a lot of people's mind, which is why you have a lot of individuals, including Harris, who just did not, Kamala Harris, a pro-abortion Democrat, Harris County, the attorneys in the DA's office, you have people who are pro-abortion Democrats, people who sit on the board of Planned Parenthood. I hope that the judge is listening to your legal representation, because I just cannot see, with this conflict of interest and the collusion in this particular case, how any judge, even if they are biased in terms of any political bent, how they can see that, I mean, this is, it's a witch hunt, it's a political witch hunt.
It's outrageous. And remember, this is Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, which is one of the biggest Planned Parenthood affiliates in the entire country. They operate the biggest abortion clinic, the biggest late-term abortion clinic in the entire country. And they were actively participating in the harvesting and sale of baby body parts for profit for longer than almost any other Planned Parenthood affiliate in the country. They had a program going on to do that for at least 10 years that their director of research, Melissa Farrell, was overseeing. We've got all of her statements on tape, which you can watch at cnp.org. And many of your viewers are familiar with. Those are the real crimes that's been happening in Harris County, and that's what ought to be investigated by the local authorities and prosecuted.
Thank you. Thank you, David DeLeiden, for having the boldness and the courage in your organization, Center for Medical Progress. Look what's coming. This man is paying a price, but thank you for those that are willing to pay the price. Listen, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade, this landmark decision by the Supreme Court, made abortion legal in this country, there's been over 50 plus million children that have been murdered. Listen, we are praying every day, and we encourage you to pray with us that God will end abortion. And I'm hopeful that this case is not over with. This is not done. This is just the beginning, and we're seeing laws that are being passed all across the country that are saying we can't participate in this anymore. When we get right back from this break, we're going to be discussing new legislation that's going to get passed, we're believing for, in Pennsylvania. Right now, over 1,500 abortions are taking place a year where babies, 23 weeks, are being aborted, and we're going to have testimony from Dr. Anthony Levitino, a former abortionist who himself has committed over 1,200 abortions. He's going to describe that procedure in detail right when we get back from this break. You don't want to miss it.
keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. Now, we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where He is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is Prudent Preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all, to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Steve Kolaszewski. We're excited to be with you here today. We want to let you know that this program is a parental guidance suggested program, because we're talking about abortion. We're talking about what's been happening now since 1973. I mean, an entire generation, where 50 plus million children, babies, have been murdered. And we're seeing across the country new laws being enacted. But up until this point, the Center for Medical Progress actually did these expose undercover videos, if you will. It was hard for people to kind of connect the dots. You know, is it really happening? Is there an organization that literally would sell body parts? And almost if you didn't see it with your own eyes.
You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, and it's hard to stomach that when you're looking at people poking at arms, babies' legs in a petri dish. And, you know, it's dishonorable. It's
horrible.
Horrible. And imagine the heart of God, you know, and God's going to deal with innocent bloodshed. I mean, he's really going to, it's judgment. And, we want to repent as a nation. We repent as a church. We just want to cry out to God for mercy and, really just go after this thing, because we really believe that abortion could be ended in this generation. Why not? Why not go for it?
Why not? Why not our generation? Why not now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, right now, Steve, there is a new bill that's being introduced in Pennsylvania, because right now 1,500 babies are being aborted every year in Pennsylvania up until the 23rd week. I mean, you're looking at 5.5 months. My understanding is that full-term pregnancy is about 40 weeks. So more than half of the way there, they're still performing these abortions. And the thing about these abortions at 5.5 months is that, I mean, they're literally pulling apart
piece by piece.
It's, limbs.
It's horrific.
Well, we have testimony from a former abortionist, Dr. Anthony Levitino. He had committed over 1,200 abortions and one day was convicted, saying, I cannot do this anymore. And he describes in detail through animation of what this procedure is all about. Again, this is parental guidance suggested. Watch this.
My name is Dr. Anthony Levitino. I'm a practicing obstetrician-gynecologist, and I've performed over 1,200 abortions. Today I'm going to describe a second trimester surgical abortion called dilatation and evacuation, or D&E. A D&E is performed between 13 and 24 weeks of pregnancy. After administering anesthesia, the abortionist uses a weighted speculum, like this one, that opens the vagina widely. Because second trimester babies are so large, this greater access facilitates a late-term abortion. Late-term abortion requires that the cervix be prepared 24 to 48 hours in advance with laminaria. Laminaria is a type of sterilized seaweed that absorbs water over 8 to 12 hours and swells to several times its original diameter. Once removed, metal dilators can be used to further open the cervix as needed. Once the cervix has been stretched open, the suction tube is placed inside. A baby at 20 weeks gestation is as big as the length of my hand, from head to rump, not counting the legs. The suction machine is turned on, and pale yellow amniotic fluid surrounding the baby is suctioned out through the catheters. But babies this big, they don't fit through catheters this size. The baby's bones and skull are too strong to be torn apart by suction alone. This is a Sofer clamp. A Sofer clamp is made of stainless steel. It's about 13 inches long. The business end is about 2.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide, and there are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. The abortionist uses this clamp to grasp an arm or leg. Once he has a firm grip, the abortionist pulls hard in order to tear the limb from the baby's body. One by one, the rest of the limbs are removed, along with the intestines, the spine, and the heart and lungs. Usually the most difficult part of the procedure is extracting the baby's head, which is about the size of a large plum at 20 weeks. The head is grasped and crushed. The abortionist knows he has crushed the skull when a white substance comes out of the cervix. This was the baby's brains. The abortionist then removes skull pieces. He removes the placenta and any leftover parts of the baby with a curette, scraping the lining of the uterus for any remaining tissue. The abortionist then collects the baby parts and reassembles them to make sure that there are two arms, two legs, and all the pieces. Once all the parts have been accounted for, the abortion is complete. For the woman, This procedure carries a significant risk of major complications, including perforation or laceration of the uterus or cervix, with possible damage to the bowel, bladder, and other maternal organs. Infection and hemorrhage can also occur, which can even lead to death. Future pregnancies are also at greater risk for loss or premature delivery due to abortion-related trauma and injury to the cervix. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm Dr. Anthony Levitino, and in the early part of my career as an OBGYN, I performed over 1,200 abortions. One day, after completing one of those abortions, I looked at the remains of a preborn child whose life I had ended, and all I could see was someone's son or daughter. I came to realize that killing a baby at any stage of pregnancy for any reason is wrong. I want you to know today, no matter where you're at or what you've done, you can change. Make a decision today to protect the preborn. Thank you for your time.
That's horrific. I mean, that really is horrific. And I thank God for that this doctor, you know, had this conviction.
Doesn't do it anymore.
And he does not commit any more abortions. And now he's on the other side. You know, thank the Lord for that, which shouldn't give us all hope that just because someone is an abortionist now doesn't mean that God can't get a hold of them. And I look at that and say, you know, where have we progressed as a nation? Did we actually progress, or are we on the decline that we could consider that as something that we could entertain? And it's just so important, because right now, as the Supreme Court enters into the final, their, you know, final term here, they're going to decide whether they're going to hear in a this case regarding an abortion law that just went into effect, or has been into effect in Texas, that basically stipulates that an abortionist has to have accepting privileges at other hospitals whenever they perform an abortion in the event that something went wrong. It's called admitting privileges, so that they could take care of the mother at the hospital. Well, don't know the full details of it, but it seems to be a complicated procedure, so that now that 40, it went down from 42 clinics, abortion clinics in Texas, down to 19, and some saying they can go down to as low as 10.
Yeah.
Literally thousands of babies have been saved as a result of this law. And because the court right now is split, you know, 4-4, because Antonin Scalia's passing, if they take this case and it's a tie, then the law still remains. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just bring this to you so that you can continue to be informed, but so also, too, that you can pray in accordance with God's will that, dear God, end abortion and send revival, send the third great awakening. You know, we're going to go to break. When we get back from this break, we're going to be bringing to you words from Governor Cuomo, governor of the state of New York, as he put his full backing of his authority as the governor of New York, and said that they're going to stand with Israel. It's a beautiful statement. You don't want to miss it. We're going to bring you his words in its entirety. But before we go to break, we do have a special offer for you. Listen, we love our VFN TV partners. We appreciate you. And for standing with us, we have a special gift for you. Consider being a VFN TV partner today.
Did you know that it's our sponsors and partners that make VFN TV possible? Become a partner today. We have an offer for you. For your partnership of any amount, it's offer 2007. It's entitled Hindrances to Love and Power. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of power. Are you wondering why you might not be seeing more power of the kingdom of God in your life and ministry as a believer? This message addresses that very thing. Hindrances to love, hindrances to power, and you'll be greatly inspired and encouraged as you begin to see the fullness of the kingdom by faith manifest in your life. It's the offer, 2007, Hindrances of Love and Power. You can partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts, or by mailing to VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2007, Hindrances to Love and Power. The world needs to see us moving in the fullness of kingdom power.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us on or live at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Sometimes it's tempting to ignore the holidays just to avoid the stress that comes with them. I'm John Fuller with the Focus on the Family Minute. If you're a parent, you need to consider what Pastor Tommy Nelson remembers about his childhood and holidays.
One of the things that I am most grateful for growing up is my mother made my home a magic place. There was such love, there was such happiness in my home that Christmas was magic. Easter was magic. Thanksgiving was magic. Pulling a tooth was magic in my home. And it was a big deal to try to catch her sticking that quarter under there. And I believed in the tooth fairy till I was 23.
Well, the holidays can be stressful for parents, but they also provide happy times that bind our children to our family and later on create fond memories that can draw home a prodigal teen. A reminder from Focus on the Family.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people how many people were saved, and he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this many. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio is Steve Kalishevsky. And we want to talk to you today about New York Governor Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo signs an executive order against BDS. You've been hearing this BDS. What is that? Well, it's another failed strategy against the nation of Israel. And what Israel's facing right now from nations, you know, around the world, even in our own country, a movement called BDS. It stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. And it's a movement basically to organize people against Israel, against doing any kind of commerce, against doing any kind of business. And they're trying to hurt them financially. Mm-hmm. I mean, if throwing rockets and bombs and knife intifadas were not bad enough.
Now they're just trying to attack them economically.
Yeah, they're trying to do whatever they can do to shut down the nation of Israel. And listen, careful when you mess with the apple of God's eye. And, you know, I commend the governor. I commend the governor of New York for taking a bold stand to stand with the nation of Israel. In fact, he went so far to say, Steve, that if you boycott against Israel, New York will boycott against you. And he's encouraging governors in the entire country, all 50 governors, to stand with him as New York took the lead and say the same thing. If you boycott doing business with Israel, then our state, whatever state we represent, we're going to boycott doing business with you. Well, I want you to hear Governor Cuomo for yourself as he addresses a Jewish delegation at the Harvard Club, and he begins to outline why he is a defender and a supporter of Israel and why he is against this BDS movement and why the state of New York, they're actually going to be putting together, mm-hmm. Steve, a list of every organization that is involved in this BDS, yeah. And he signed an executive order that the state of New York will not do any business with those organizations. In fact, watch this.
Counsel General mentioned our trip in 2014 to Israel, which at that time Israel was under attack, and that is precisely why we went at that time. It's nice to have friends. It's nice to have friends when times are good. It's better to have friends when times are bad. And a real friend comes when you're under attack. And 2014, Israel was under attack. Today, Israel is under attack on a different level. And that's the true test of friendship. And New York is a true friend of Israel. We've shown it before. We're going to show it again today, and we're going to show it every day in the future. So, Council Gentlemen, thank you. We have the Salute to Israel parade today. I'm excited. I love the parades. It highlights a part of what New York is all about. New York is a diverse state. New York is an international state. We have people from all over the world, and it makes us different, frankly, more sophisticated when it comes to international relations because we live with the balance every day. Today we salute Israel. The first parade was 1964. Israel was 16 years old, and we've been celebrating every year since. When you think about Israel and New York, it is a story of intertwined histories and common futures. I believe that. The connections between Israel and New York rival connections with any country. Literally, they are intense, they are cultural, they're economic, they are spiritual, they are natural, and they are symbiotic. And they have existed for a long, long time. You look at the connections historically, culturally, in many ways, it's amazing. The words on the Statue of Liberty that guide the founding of this country, this state, give me your tired, your poor, Emma Lazarus, written by a Manhattan Jew. David Ben-Gurion studied here, the New York Public Library. That's where he learned the lessons of American democracy. Also found some time to meet a young nurse who he later married, but came to study and learn American democracy. So the connections go on and on. Yoni Netanyahu spent so much time in New York and that adaptation. First Israel flag sewn by a man from Harlem. All these connections on every level have drawn us to this point. And I think it's important to remember, not only do we have a beautiful history together, but we have a future together. Because especially today, it's becoming clearer and clearer that we have a common enemy. 20 years ago, I went to sit with Shimon Peres. I was in Israel, but I met with Shimon Peres, who to me has always been an inspirational, powerful figure. And it was a very special meeting. He first chatted about my father, and his knowledge of New York politics was unbelievable. Forget U.S. politics, New York politics, I think he knew better than I did. And he had a special relationship with my father, and he said about my father, your father is not just, was governor at the time of New York, is not just a political friend. He's a friend here, which was very touching to me and very true. And he said 20 years ago to me, I'll never forget, that we have a common enemy and they come for us today, but they come for you tomorrow. They come for us today, but they come for you tomorrow. Israel was more proximate. It was easier for them to get to Israel. We had the comfort of oceans. Travel wasn't as easy. There wasn't an internet. But they come for us today, they come for you tomorrow. This is before 9/11. This is before Madrid. This is before all the hate on social media. He was exactly right. That connection is true. We have learned that the alliance serves us both extraordinarily well. The Iron Dome in Israel. What a beautiful example of collaboration and what you can do when you collaborate. If you would describe to someone that system, they would say, it's impossible. But we did it together. Israel's location is a strategic advantage for this nation. Israel's knowledge of terrorism is a strategic advantage. We're relative newcomers to this battle, but Israel has done it every day for decades. So, I am surprised and saddened, in truth, that with the political turmoil in this country, there have been so many questions raised about our relationship with Israel and our support for Israel. I'm sad as a Democrat. As a Democrat, I always took for granted that there was a natural relationship with Israel that was unquestioned. And it was that way for many, many years. And it's one of the things that gave us pride as Democrats. You now have aspects of the Democratic Party that are being critical of Israel as being disproportionate in its response. But to question Israel's response saddens me. To question the situation they're dealing with and the tenacity of their opponents misunderstands the situation. Counsel General mentioned the tunnels that we went to see. And we went to Israel partially to publicize the tunnels because they said in pictures what millions of words could not communicate. Look at the tenacity and the obsession of this enemy, that they would take funds that, frankly, they could have better used on their people for fundamental services and construct miles of tunnels. And these tunnels, by the way, are not just we have a shovel, we dig a tunnel. These are cement reinforced electrical conduits. This just showed that the determination, the single-mindedness, that these are people who are bent on destroying Israel. That is their purpose. And that is their primary purpose. How can you have a disproportionate response when you are dealing with an enemy who is obsessed and single-minded? By definition, you can't be disproportionate. And they will do everything that they can do, and they are. And as frightening as those tunnels are, and as radical as the mindset and obsessive as the mindset that built those tunnels, this BDS movement is in many ways more frightening. Because what they're saying is they're not making a physical attack, they want to make an economic attack. And it's not just radicals who are willing to build tunnels, they're going to mainstream businesses across the world to generate a corporate enemy for Israel, and we cannot allow that to happen, period. Now, in New York, we believe that you lead by example. And I am very proud that the members of the legislature who are here in the Assembly and the Senate, both houses, have been grappling with this issue of BDS for weeks and for months, and we've had many, many conversations about it, and I know their feelings. In New York, we're also a place of action. And passing legislation, even when you have good intent, can often be a tedious affair. Let me say that. Tedious is fine, right? And we want to take immediate action because we want the world to know and we want Israel to know that we are on their side. Today I'm going to sign an executive order that says very clearly we are against the BDS movement. And it's very simple. If you boycott against Israel, New York will boycott you. If you divert revenues from Israel, New York will divert revenues from you. If you sanction Israel, New York will sanction you. Period. Thank you. We are against the BDS movement in every way. We are against companies that do it. We are against the promotion of it by companies and by entities. I am very proud to be the first governor in the United States of America to sign this executive order. And I encourage every governor in this country to sign such an executive order. New York, one of the great capacities of New York is New York can lead by example. And when New York does something, it's a fair question for every elected official all across the country. Why don't you do what New York did? That was true historically when we led in all sorts of social reforms in the women's movement, environmental rights movement, human rights movement. It was true when we passed marriage equality a few years ago, and I signed that bill. And the next week, they went to every elected official across the country and said, well, New York, Governor Cuomo signed the marriage equality bill, would you? They went to the vice president and the president. The next week, literally. New York signs this executive order today. It's a fair question for every elected official. Why don't you sign the same executive order? Why don't you stand up for Israel? We want to know where you are, who you are, and actions speak louder than words. Sign the executive order. We all pray for peace. New York prays for peace. Israel prays for peace. The world prays for peace. The difference is the best way to achieve peace is to have a strong Israel and make that the international statement, and that's what we're doing today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor
yes,
Cuomo.
Thank you.
You saw him sign that executive order there towards the end, and we want to encourage you to contact your governor.
Yes.
Whatever state you're in, contact your governor and say, do what Governor Cuomo just did. signed an executive order that states that you are against the BDS movement, that is this attack that's being waged against the nation of Israel. I want to just remind you some of the words he said. Listen, if you divert finances from Israel, New York will divert finances away from you. If you sanction Israel, New York will sanction you. What would happen if all 50 states, this is the governors now, rise up and say, listen, we're not going to tolerate this. This is a nation, Israel, that's smaller than the state of New Jersey, smaller than the country of Ecuador, completely surrounded by her enemies, does nothing really but good. I mean, it is one of the most noble and honorable military in the world.
They're actually saving the very people that are waging war against them.
I mean, we've brought to you story upon story of how IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have gone into enemy line and to help wounded people.
Repeatedly.
That were trying to hurt them.
Yeah.
And they're healing them. They're giving them medical technology. We've shared with you story after story of how Israel is blessing the nations of the world. I mean, this is Bible prophecy coming to pass. I mean, this is truth here, where Israel is leading in medical technology, where they're leading in agriculture, and then they're sharing their wisdom, what they've learned, with other nations in the Middle East.
Yeah. Business in the same way, many of the very businesses, the very messaging that you have in texts on your mobile apps was technology that was originated out of Israel. And a lot of times we don't even recognize so many of the startups were from Israel.
Well, they have a thing called startup businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book about Israel calling it a startup nation. Palo Alto is the place where Facebook and Google and a lot of these social media and
Silicon Valley,
technological countries come from. And what happens is that outside of these cities in California, it's Israel that's leading the pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? So much to say, even in the area of military and weaponry. I want to show you this amazing device that they have where it has a gun. Mm-hmm. It's a remote control. You got to see it for yourself. This is what the type of technology that they're developing to keep their nation safe. Watch this.
Thank you. Dogo is a game-changer tactical combat robot, providing unique attack and engagement capabilities. The Dogo can be quickly deployed and is highly maneuverable for operating indoors as well as in rough outdoor terrain. It also includes the ability to easily climb stairs and overcome other obstacles. Multiple onboard cameras provide an intuitive 360-degree view for enhanced situational awareness with integrated two-way full duplex audio for negotiation and communication. The Dogo is equipped to carry a standard 9mm Glock 26 pistol, which can be operated remotely with high accuracy and speed. A multi-layered firing safety system allows for safe operation and security of the pistol at all times. The Dogo is easy.
Absolutely amazing. Listen,
powerful.
God has blessed Israel,
yeah. And
we want to take this time to pray with you. Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord, to continue, Lord, to protect the nation of Israel, Lord. And Father, we pray together, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, and that you would send a third great awakening in our country, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for watching VFN TV. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
He lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. And he says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, and your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.